On this episode, we answer your questions about Bruins basketball.
And then Chapman Harwood in the pickpocket. Harwood coming back the other way. Finger rolling in. Picked off again by Ellenwood. Ellenwood going to lay it up and one.
Welcome back to the Bruins Basketball Show, the official podcast of the Bruins Basketball Program. I'm Coach Tony Miller, and this is the midsummer edition of the podcast. This episode is going to be a little bit different than our previous episodes. I wanted to start by giving you just a little bit of an update on things, about how things are going for our program during these summer months. May is usually a quieter month. It's when most everyone, including the staff, takes our summer vacation, but then by the time June comes, we're back at it with summer camps. We started the month of June with one of our largest summer camps, our junior camp, and then the following week we were able to have an individual camp for the high school age students, and it was great that week to have several of our current and former players back. Great to see them and great to spend some time with them. And then if you listen to the podcast interview with Blake Coleman, one of our incoming freshmen, you know that the university had its summer orientation the last couple weeks of June. And so several of our players, our new players, were on campus for that, so it was great to have them around as well. Now it's already July, and if you know anything about college basketball, you know that July is a really big recruiting month. So our staff will be evaluating players over the next few weeks for those future classes. By the time August comes, it'll really be time for us to gear up for preseason workouts again, and then before you know it, it'll be time for school, and then we'll be in full swing for the season. So the summer months are going by quickly, and we're excited about all the upcoming things coming with our program and the group that we'll have this year, and really looking forward to that. Periodically, I wanted to do kind of a question and answer version of the podcast, and so this week we had some of our regular listeners submit some questions, and so a couple of these are going to be things about our upcoming season. Other things will be topics from the past, and so let me just, without saying too much more, let me just go ahead and jump into some of these questions. The first question that was asked was, several people had questions about our upcoming schedule and when will the 2018 and 19 schedule be released. The plan really is for us to announce that towards the end of this month and at the latest the beginning of August. Typically we have to wait until the middle of the summer to lock in a lot of our dates for our NCAA Division I games, and so we'll have several of those this coming year. Just to give you a couple hints, we'll have a couple of those games. And then we'll also have some Division III schools on the schedule, and then our regularly scheduled opponents with our NCAA Division II teams, and then also our NCCAA opponents that we face each year. Speaking of NCAA Division III, there are a few questions related to our move to NCAA D3. So let me just pick one that's kind of related to our first question about our schedule. The question is, how different will competition be in the Division III compared to what it has been? There's still a lot to be determined related to the conference that we're going to be in, and so the teams that we'll be playing, we don't really know exactly who that will be quite yet. One of the things that you have to understand, we're a part of the NCCAA, so that's an association, but we're not having any kind of affiliation right now with a conference. So when it comes to making our schedule, we have a lot of flexibility that otherwise we wouldn't be able to have if we were in a conference right now. So that's why we have a lot of D1s, D2s, NAIAs, NCCAA D1s, NCCAA Division IIs on our schedule. And one of the things that we found in the recent years has been, especially when it comes to regional games and then our national tournament, is that by playing those various opponents, it really gives our players an opportunity to face different levels of competition, and specifically levels and styles of play that if we were to play just in one specific conference, we may not get the variety that we have by playing these different teams. So it really has prepared us for the regional play and then the national play that we've had at the NCCAA level. And so by the time we get to the D3 level, that'll change a little bit. And we do have several of our opponents this coming year, as I mentioned before, that will be D3 opponents. This actually isn't the first time that we've had D3 opponents on our schedule. If you know anything about our program's history, over the last several years, we've had several seasons that we've actually played D3, so it won't be completely uncharted waters for our program. And so by the time we start playing a full schedule, we will have acclimated to that, hopefully, and we'll be introducing several D3 opponents over the next few years in preparation for that. The next question is more of a coaching question. The person asked, what do you look for when you watch high-level college basketball and the NBA that can translate to teaching your own players? This may sound a little bit strange for people who aren't really used to head coaches being responsible for everything that happens on the floor during a game. But for Coach Uaro and I, we've actually split a lot of the responsibilities for the X's and O's. So if he were to answer this question, he may actually have a few different answers and responses than I'll have. He's delegated to me the defense and a lot of the out-of-bounds plays and set plays that we have. And so for me personally, when I watch a college basketball game or an NBA game, I'm usually watching those types of things. And, you know, specifically on like the defensive end, I'll watch how a team defends a pick and roll, how they do it at different spots on the floor, or I'll watch maybe their defensive rotations or how a team defends in the post. Probably a lot of things that the average fans kind of thinks are kind of boring. But for me, there are things that can potentially help our program and even things that we can use for our team. If you follow me on Twitter, probably you're annoyed sometimes at how many things I post that have to do with plays. There's actually some of those things that it's kind of a place for me to store those. And at times I'll actually go back and use some of those plays and some of those things that I've seen in our own playbook. The last question is just kind of a fun one here. What are the top three individual performances in Bruins history? There's a lot, and while I was kind of trying to go back over this, these are probably things that just kind of stuck out to me. It's not like these are the best, probably, individual performances, but the ones that stick out the most to me, the first one has to be the most recent one, probably Nate Ellenwood's triple-double in the national tournament semifinal we had this last year against Grace. He ended up finishing the game with 34 points, 12 assists, and 11 rebounds, and we really needed all of those points, all of those assists, and all of those rebounds to make it to the championship game. So that probably was the first one that came to mind. And then the second one, those of you that know Zach Mercado, he was a part of our program towards the beginning of our history. And he had 28 points against Piedmont International. But, I mean, that wasn't the points that made it the most memorable thing. He actually had a game-winning three in that game, and it helped that night we were having a special event, so the gym was packed, and those of you that were there that night, the biggest and the most exciting thing that our program had that first year. The last one would have to be one of Kyle Turner's performances as a sophomore in our regional tournament. Kyle had a game against Carver where we had 31 points and 12 rebounds, a double-double, and the thing that kind of stood out for me for that game was it was kind of a game that was a sign of things to come for Kyle in his last 2 years with us, and he ended up having a great career and still owns a bunch of the records that are in our record books for our program. We'll go ahead and end it there for this episode. In the future, like I said, we'll do more question and answers with our players, but feel free to, if you'd like to, go ahead and submit those questions to us, and we'll try to accumulate those over the next couple months or two, and have those prepared. If you want to submit those on Instagram or on Twitter, and speaking of those platforms, be sure to follow us if you aren't already. You can find us at BJU Bruins MBB. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time, enjoy your journey.